So, again, the book is called Finding My Faith by Kevin Harrington. He's a member of the church. He was in Florida. I believe he's actually in Alabama now. I think it even says something about that in here. But great book. It's an easy read in how the chapters are broken up. But again, if you would like more information on this, I know I mentioned this before, but please see me. It's a great read. We're actually, Kevin and I are using it down at the Waco congregation as well. So this one is chapter 3, and it's called Building a Castle. And some things, you know, I just want to start with Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6 to give us a bit of a basis. But when we talk about unity, when we talk about everything that we should be doing, and, well, let me just read it first. Again, Ephesians 4, verses 4 through 6, there's one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. So this really covers everything we need to know about unity. Again, how many times is the word one used, and the word all? So it gives us this plain and simple, I guess, idea of unity in there. And when we talk about the church, when the world talks about the church, when the world says, or someone in the world says they're a Christian, what does that make you think at times? Are they a Christian? What's that?
They believe in God.
They believe in God, right. Does that make someone a Christian? That's a step to, they have to do it as well. So one of the questions that he asks in this beginning of this chapter 2 is, how many Christians do you know? And we all could probably name at least someone who says they're a Christian. What religion are you? Well, I'm a Christian. Or they might say what? I'm a Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, whatever it may be. But they'll still say, and then if you say, well, I'm a Christian, let me back up. They'll say, what religion are you? And you say, I'm a Christian. What will they say? Yeah, what kind? What kind? One who follows Christ. That's a Christian. But again, and this is, I didn't put this down here, but the Center for the Study of Global Christianity, and these are some estimates from some numbers here, but they're saying in the year 1900, there were approximately 1,600, quote-unquote, Christian churches. Now, what else, how would we refer to, quote-unquote, Christian churches? Right, exactly, denominations that are in here as well. And that's in roughly in the year 1900. 100 years later, there are 34,000 in the United States as well. 34,000. 2012, 43,000. Oh, there it is. And today, over 47,000 different denominations. And I looked at a couple different charts, a couple different areas of to get the data for this, too. And they're mostly close. There was a little bit off. But again, roughly 47,000 in the United States today. So how does that happen? And then the question I know we ask in here, too, is what has changed? Why is that? What has changed from God's Word to make people believe they need 46,999 more choices than the one? What do you think? What are some things? Why do we have denominations then today? Matt? Wait, that's...
Me-centric world.
Yeah, me-centric world, absolutely. Absolutely. And if you didn't hear him, that's Matt Bennett. We haven't seen you for a little while, but welcome back. Glad you're back safe. He was traveling the world. But absolutely, we are a me-centric world. We're a, what did someone call it one time, even a McDonald's society, that we want everything our way right, a fast food society, excuse me. We want everything our way right now. And absolutely, that doesn't change with, unfortunately, doesn't change with God's word for some people. Anything else? Yeah, so one of the things he has here in the book, one of the first things, he lists a couple things here, but what has changed is people don't have a healthy respect for God's word and its authority. And absolutely, that goes along with what Matt just said as well. We want to change everything to fit us. People don't like rules. How many rules do we have in our society today that we have to live by? Well, a lot, right. When you drove here, were you allowed to go whatever speed you wanted to go? Well, not responsibly, yes. At least that a lot of people think they don't have to. Absolutely. So we have even simple and basic rules that we are supposed to follow. And if we don't follow those rules, what happens? There are consequences too, right? There's something that will happen, and we know that. So people have lost, though, respect for laws, laws of the land, even simple laws like you talked about they don't care about it. But when we talk about denominationalism, when we talk about God's word, people don't have a respect for what God says. And you've heard me say, I say this all the time anytime I'm speaking. Does that happen? Yes, it happens. Does it happen at work? And I guess what I'm thinking, I always think of this. What happens when you're late to work? Usually something, and it depends. Maybe the first time you're late, hey, don't be late next time. Make sure you get here on time. Maybe you get a little note, a little write-up or something. We have, where I work, there's progressive discipline. The first is a verbal reprimand, which everyone always argues, like, well, they wrote it down, because the second one's a written. Like, well, they wrote it down, so that the first one wasn't verbal. Well, they're just documenting that they gave you the verbal, so it is kind of an oxymoron, I guess, a little confusing. But I guess the point is, we know when we do something, and you can't just leave whenever you want to. Without consequences. Right, you can do that. You can leave. But there's going to be a consequence to when you do that. And maybe you won't be fired the first time. But most people are on time to work. I'm always so early anywhere anyways that I'm at minimum I'm 15 minutes ahead at work. That way I'm ready to go at that time. And remember this, look, this has nothing to do with my lesson, but if your start time, my start time's at 6:30. That doesn't mean I walk in the door at 6:30. That means I'm ready to do whatever I need to do at 6:30, ready to go for the day there. But again, that's a different thing altogether. But people don't have a healthy respect for God's word and its authority, is what Brother Harrington says here in the book. And we see that. Which I just mentioned, all these other things people don't really respect, people don't care about. But when it comes to God's word, it seems like they really don't, because just as Matt said, people want to do things their way. They want to make it to fit them instead of the opposite. Now, another thing I will say, too, is a lot of times people just don't see an immediate consequence. And just as Autumn said, too, we can do whatever we want, but when you do that at work, when you leave, you might get away with it once, maybe twice, depending on how you're supervised. But eventually, it's going to catch up to you. There's going to be a consequence. And I think people just don't see an immediate consequence when it comes to God's word, that they think, well, I got away with this, so I'm going to go ahead and get away with that. And they keep going forward with it as well. And number two is people don't know what it truly means then to be a Christian. So again, I said earlier too, we talk about denominations. People just throw that word Christian around very loosely, but no one really understands what that means. And again, later, actually in this book, he talks more about that in detail as well. But, so I'm going to read again part of this, what it means in building a castle, because he gives a good illustration here. And he talks about his senior year at Florida College, and he was taught by another preacher, a good illustration that helps kind of put God's word into maybe better focus as well. So it goes like this. I'm just reading down this paragraph. It says, imagine you and I went on a vacation to Europe. As we're traveling the beautiful countryside, we see an ancient medieval castle in the distance. As we approach the castle, we are struck by its beauty, culture, and detail. We think to ourselves, America doesn't have any castles like this. So we decide to build an exact replica of this castle back home. Money is no object, so let's get to work. Sounds great. I myself have never been to Europe. I've seen pictures. You see these big, beautiful castles that were built a long time ago. But what he says here too is if we're going to build this castle, we need a few things. So a few things we need. Obviously, we need similar materials. Now remember, in this example, we're building a similar castle here. So we're going to need similar materials, and then the correct blueprint. Now this seems easy. This seems basic. We can all kind of wrap our heads around this and understand what he's talking about here. But think about this now. Remember, we want to build an exact replica. He said in ancient times they didn't have running water. No running water means we will need to use the restroom outside in an outhouse. It means we will have to fetch our own water to cook and bathe. And it means that at any time we need hot water, we will have to boil it ourselves. Does anyone do this now? Hopefully not. So let's go ahead and run some plumbing then into our castle. Back then, they used fire as their only source of light and heat. Please do not light a fire unless it's in an approved fireplace in your house. He said, I don't know about you, but I'm going to need some air conditioning in the summer and some heat in the winter. I will also need lights to see. We might as well run the castle with electricity. Speaking of electricity, what about the kitchen? In ancient times, they just cooked over a fire. I really enjoy using an oven, stove, and microwave. Let's update the kitchen a little bit and make sure we can cook a proper meal. And then he goes on. So remember, now we want to build this ancient castle just like it's built over in Europe. But we have all these comforts in our lives today that they didn't have. So no one's really going to volunteer here if you're going to build a house, say, you know what, I don't need a restroom in here. No one's going to say that. I don't need an oven. I don't need electricity. I don't need running water. We have a nice pond back there that gets bigger this time of year because of all the rain. No one here is going to say that. But so then he goes on at the bottom of this page. Not that you're reading along with me, but he says, by the time the castle is finished, we have made so many changes that any person with common sense will be able to see the castle we made is nothing like the original. Right? And he says it may look similar, but it's not the same. We made all these minor changes to it, but it is not the same. It's not according to how we saw that castle, how it was originally built as well. So, again, when we're looking at these things, we need to think about a few things as well. And I kind of jumped ahead with my verses here, but I have a couple other things to say first. So here's a problem. We had a blueprint. Remember from that ancient castle? To follow it, to build this castle. But what did we do? We made all these little changes. And maybe we didn't think all these changes were so small. But the question is the castle we built here, wherever you had it built, is it the same as the castle over in Europe? Wherever it may be. Is it the same now? Remember, we talked about all those little things that we added to it. No, it's not. It's...
They call it upgrades.
Upgrades, right. Right, there are a lot of upgrades to that. And that would be true in the sense that, again, as I asked earlier, we're not going to build a house today without a restroom. We're not going to build a house without electricity. We're not going to build a house without running water. No one here wants that pond I just talked about to grab a bucket and pull their water out. So, yes, they absolutely are upgrades to them. And it's fine if you're building your own personal house, your own personal home. But again, and now think of it in this sense. So we have this idea of an architect and a builder. I have never built a house myself. I know some people here have. But the basic idea is an architect is the one who designs the house or designs the castle. And they put them to pretty specific specifications. It's not like you just go up to someone, hey, do you mind drawing a blueprint, getting a blueprint together for me for a house? You would say, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't do that. That's not my job. But an architect has to be very precise in all of their measurements and everything that they're doing. The walls have to be exact. And it's not just for aesthetics, not just the look of things. Does everyone know what a load-bearing wall is? Yeah, everyone knows what, hopefully everyone knows what a load-bearing wall is. I'll just make it real easy and real simple. If you're not, you can't just, you know, your rooms are split up in your house and you'll see your walls run different directions. You can't just decide, I want to remove this wall or that wall without finding out if that wall is actually supporting part of the structure, supporting from above. Because if you do that, then some of that, let's say the roof ceiling is going to collapse and fall. So you have to find out, well, the architect is going to design a home, a building in such a way that that doesn't happen, that it's safe. So again, now you have a builder. So you have the architect and you have a builder. The builder can't just decide, well, I'm going to go ahead and change something. I'm going to make some changes to this and it'll be just fine. That's not how it works. Now, builders have similar knowledge probably to the architect in what they're going to build, but it's not the same. Nor, if you're having a house built, are you going to have that builder just decide, he said, well, you know what, I don't like how this looks, your blueprint you just sent me. Do you mind if I make some changes? Yeah, go ahead. Let's see how it turns out. No one's going to do that. No one wants to pay for that because you're going to be paying for it later in the end. But as we said earlier, too, is that people don't have a healthy respect for God or his word. That's exactly what's going on. So think of it this way. If someone decided that they were just going to, if the builder decided that they're just going to change the blueprint and the plans that you gave to them, would anyone here be okay with that? No, right? People are shaking their heads. No, we would not be okay with that. We know that would not be good. We would not want that house. Because, again, it's going to put, I talked about the wall earlier. By removing a wall, you're putting your whole house, you're putting your safety at risk. What else goes up in walls? Your electricity, your plumbing goes through there. So if you don't know this already, too, don't just start drilling into a wall wherever you decide you want to drill. There are things behind those walls. There's a purpose, is my point, behind all of these things. The architect has one job, and that is to design the building. The builder has one job, and that is to build according to the architect's design. Together, they work together to design and build something beautiful. Remember this, God is the architect, and we are the builders. So how did we get, remember earlier when I talked about all those denominations, how did we get from one to, I think, what was 47,000 I had in the earlier? Really, it's people want to be the architect. Everybody wants to be the architect. Nobody wants to be the builder. And that's according to God's word there. Nobody wants to be the builder. Everyone wants to, and he says in here, again, we have too many people wanting to be architects and not enough people trying to build what the architect already gave us. How many people do you know also that know everything? Right? We all know somebody who knows everything. And no matter what you do, no matter what you say, they do it better, they have a better way, they have a better idea of doing that. But that's exactly what we say when we don't follow God's word. Remember earlier we said how many Christian churches there are? People believe that they have a better way. When we look at our castle here that we talked about, we have to remember, too, God here is the architect. So I have a few verses we want to look through. Does anyone have a comment, too, before I might be missing someone? Anyone from class? But no. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, he lists a few verses here. Again, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. Ephesians chapter 4, in verses 11 and 12, it says, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for building up the body of Christ. We're so far we have not seen anywhere where it said, go ahead and do it your way. Go ahead and build how you feel like you would have it. And again, common sense tells all of us, yeah, we wouldn't say that. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, for no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So we understand, again, foundation. When we talk about a foundation, what comes to your mind? What do you think of? I just think if I want something solid, something strong, something that's going to last, something that I don't know what the word is, just again, going to last, going to stay there with us as well. Romans 16, verse 16, all the churches of Christ greet you. And again, when we talk about denominationalism, I've asked this question, and I've talked about this before too, but how many denominations did you pass on the way here? And what's on the sign? What is it?
Church.
Yeah, but when they put something on that.
Man-made.
Yeah, man-made. What is it, too?
Another name.
But you're all right. I don't mean it's wrong. But usually they're trying to draw people in somehow in some way, too. And is it because, hey, the truth is here? This is God's word? No, it's a car show. It's bingo. It's some type of game, some type of party. The Super Bowl. You'll see that often as well. So again, the Church of Christ, all the churches of Christ greet you. And this is, again, easy for us in here as well to understand. And again, 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9, we'll look at a couple of these verses here. Again, probably just a few minutes. But it says, for we are God's fellow workers, you are God's field, God's building. So anywhere, or was there any verse that we just read out of many, there's many more as well, that you can see that it says, go ahead and do it your way. Go ahead and do it how you want it built. Go ahead and put your name in there. And really, remember I said earlier, why do we have these denominations? What has changed? It's people are taking their name and filling it in where it says God's. They're removing God out of there. How many things today is the world removing God from? Everything. I am a little surprised, Sam, too, that even our money, that it's still, God's name is still on there. On anything. And again, it's sad because any reference, any mention of God today, what do people do? Well, not just, yeah, absolutely, they do close their ears, but they also, they fight against it. What's the word I had a word in my head again. Always happens. But they're almost like they're enraged. Just seeing the name God somewhere. And I don't have time to go into it too, but you'll hear someone throw around, well, separation of church and state. It's really not what the intent of that was. Well, you can't have anything that says God outside of your church building. But people do that, and people sue, and people get this rage just because they see God's name on there. But then I'll back up. As Christians, how comforting, though, is that? To see God's name, to see God's word somewhere, to hear it, and to talk about it as well. But again, going back to what I said earlier, too, is what people are doing today is they're just taking God out of 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 9 and inserting themselves. Kind of what Matt said at the beginning here as well, that they're just putting themselves in there. They're just adding what sounds better to them. And just like a drive-through or just like a fast food place where you want to order something, that's exactly what they're doing with God's word too. Just removing something here, adding something there at this point. Yeah, I saw a hand in the back too. Yeah, go ahead. Yes, absolutely. And we have to understand that. The same thing I think with that too is the fact that it also allows conversation, or it opens a door at times for conversation. Because you'll hear a topic come up, you'll hear someone say something, you'll hear something ask. Hey, look at me. But I have conversations where actually today even I was having a conversation. It was getting a little, not heated, but animated. And obvious disagreements as well. But at least there's conversation, absolutely, that can happen from there. But we shouldn't shy away from it, is the other thing. When we know these things are going on, we know these things are happening, we shouldn't be shying away because, again, we are God's fellow workers. It's God's field, God's building. And we forget that. Yeah, Dale.
None of us are surprised about what's going on in the world today. But it all started in the first century.
Yeah.
I was just looking over there in Galatians 1, where Paul was writing to the churches of Galatia. And the first four verses, I don't know if you want to read that or not. But,
yeah.
But that really tells the story of the whole thing. And then I thought about Acts chapter 20, when Paul met with the Ephesian elders. He said, some of you guys are going to do this yourselves. So we've been warned for 2,000 years, and it's not going to change. It's going to be that way. So it's up to us to hold on to the truth. Those of us who won't accept anything but the truth, then it's our fight. And it was the first century Christians to fight.
Right.
And that's what they were doing. The Hebrew people, after they were converted into Christians, the writer of Hebrews.
Right.
They were trying to go back to the old law. That's basically what that's about.
Absolutely. And it's not new today, but it seems like it's maybe a more rapid pace, and maybe people are finding more excuses or more ways. And I want to read actually Galatians 1. Here as well as what Brother Taylor just mentioned, but Paul, an apostle, Galatians 1 verse 1, he says, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches of Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Well, then he continues, and I'll even continue on there, but he says, I am astonished that you were so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. And this is where, to me, it kind of gets kind of strong language. He says, but even if we, he says, even if us, if we, if me, if I say this, if we or an angel from heaven should preach you a gospel contrary to the one that was preached to you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. So again, I think it's very strong in here that don't let anyone change or tell you different than what you've been told. Don't let anyone distort what God's word is and make it different. And then at verse 10 there, he's saying, what am I trying to do? Am I just trying to please everyone else? Is that what I'm more concerned with? And absolutely, it was in the first century, just as it is today. But today, again, I'll say, I mean, there are other methods. You can get online. And I talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago when I was doing the class as well, when I kind of talked about faith. That, well, and that time, too, is what Brother Steve talked up here on Sunday morning in the class, too, and even during his lesson. Was it's okay to ask questions, but what are we doing, though, when we ask those questions? Are we letting it go and just thinking, well, whatever happens will happen and we'll find out? Or are we searching, trying to find out what that is and what we're supposed to be doing? Absolutely. You're right. Just in the first century, but unfortunately today, it's like everyone has an excuse for everything. Everyone has a reason. And to me, they want to be lazy. That's why when someone's not looking up an answer to something, someone has a question, what are you doing? Today, you can get online, you can look on YouTube. You could probably build a house on YouTube today and do something. But again, we're talking about an architect and a builder. Two separate things here. Remember, and this is, again, I just looked up some, I think this is from Oxford Dictionary, what I looked in here. But these are some basic definitions of, again, what an architect is. It's a person who's qualified to design buildings, to plan and supervise their construction. Remember this, it's someone who is qualified to do that. You can't just go and do it and decide, again, well, I'm going to go ahead and make some blueprints for someone to build a house. I'm sure you can do it. You can even get some software, and design something really nice and beautiful in there. I'll tell you, I feel pretty powerful sometimes as I have to review plans, and there's certain little things. I don't get a whole lot, but if it doesn't pass code, I give him a thumbs down. It doesn't count. But no, I don't. I'm not an architect of a house or a building or anything like that. But again, then it says he takes into. I found these quotes online. An architect takes into consideration all of the constraints involved in building a house. What we forget is that God knows everything. God considers everything. Do we know everything? Remember I said we all know somebody who does, though. We should ask them instead. But God knows everything, so we can't just decide that, well, we're going to take away. And what we're saying, too, is we're taking away the job of the architect from God. God's the one who designed. God's the one who created. God is all-powerful. We are not. But we think we are. And I'm going to go back to what you said earlier, too, is what was that first thing? What did you call that? Me-centric. Yes, thank you. We're a me-centric society. Everyone, and this is the other thing, too, that's very true, because no one really cares about anyone anymore. I don't know why this, and it, I just got to let it go. You ever held the door open for someone? What do they say? Wait, what did they used to say? Thank you. What do they say today? A lot of times, nothing. I remember there were twice in a row that someone didn't say a word, just walked in as if that's what is supposed to happen. That's what they're expecting to happen as well. So, again, we talk about the architect. Now we talk about the builder. Again, a builder is a person who constructs something by putting parts or material together over a period of time. But again, they need to use the plans of the architect. They can't just decide. You'll never have a builder show up and just say, I'm going to go ahead and start building today. And you would say, why haven't even finished the plans yet? Go ahead and get started. Again, no one's going to say that. We're going to wait for those plans to be finished. We're going to wait when everything's approved. And again, now I don't want to get too technical. You need plans. You need permits. I'm sure you have to pay a lot of money for those things as well. But there's a relationship involved there. And again, the architect's role is to combine the creativity, the function, design expertise, and match those skills with the client and builder requests until that project is completed. Everything has to come together perfectly in there. And then the builder's job is to execute that vision, transforming what exists on paper into the real-life project. So we have to remember that God is the architect, though, and we are the builder. And this is a short chapter, and I love this in here because of the fact that it gives us all an easy, simple, and basic illustration when we talk with anyone. That, again, remember I would ask the question that you're not okay with the fact if someone would just build whatever you want in the first place without the plans, or if you had plans out there that your builder who you hired decided to change those plans into something they wanted. But for some reason, we expect God to be okay with that. We expect God to accept what we want, what we decide in there as well. And again, the author says in here, unfortunately, over the years, too many people have decided they didn't want to be builders, but instead they wanted to be the architect. And this is a good point that he makes, too, is remember all of the different denominations, all the different numbers. It's not as if everything was boom. All these changes were immediate, erratic, and just happened. He says that over the last 2,000 years, people have made subtle changes to God's blueprint. So that castle we started with in the beginning. Let's move a wall here. Let's maybe add something here. In the end, it looks different. We've done a few things. We haven't done a lot. We actually, if you remember my grandparents, we still have the same blue carpet in the house that we always said because the kids were young, they're going to spill stuff, it's get dirty. Well, they're not as young anymore. But if you've made changes to your home, you've noticed you've probably done little things over the years, right? And if you look back at a picture from the beginning to a picture now, does it look the same all the time? No. Hopefully it looks better. But again, people have decided that they want to change what God's blueprint was, and they've made little changes over the years. They've made these tiny little things. So, and again, we think so many different things. And again, I'm mentioning what the author says here, meeting on Saturdays instead of the first day of the week, not baptizing for salvation, only meeting, how many people do you know who meet twice a year or go to services twice a year? Again, quote unquote, religious holidays. And pretty soon that church isn't recognizable. You won't know it. You won't be able to understand what it is. And people will stop going. And I don't have time for this, but one of the questions, again, I had for the class too, why, again, our numbers here are low, and I think I ask this probably every time, but why, what are some reasons maybe people would stop coming? I'm sorry? Hypocrites, right? Hypocrisy in there. They don't like the blueprint at all. Because again, they want it to be their way. Someone knows something better. Someone has a better way in there. Absolutely. And they don't like what the truth is, because it goes against how they're living their life as well. And that's the second bell. So that's all we have for this evening. And thank you for your attention.